Thank you, Brother Ted. Thank you for being here tonight. We're glad that you're here. And I thought I heard a gasp a while ago when Ted was up here mentioning that there would be no music, but Richard would be coming up. And many of you were thinking Richard's singing a solo tonight, so we want you to stay. So just want to alleviate any fears you may have. But thank you so much for being here. And I know I've told you this many times, but I so appreciate you making a priority of Wednesday nights. I love being with God's people, and I love being in God's Word. And so you're always a blessing. And Brother Ted mentioned that today is National Happy Day, so I hope everyone's happy. Everyone's got a smile on your face, and that's the way it ought to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? So thank you so much for being here. You may remember a couple weeks ago I shared an introduction to the study of the names of God. And so I shared with you three foundational principles that we need to understand as we get started with this brief study. And I wanted to just bring those back up to you again today just to refresh our memories. And the first is this: the names of God are revealed by God alone. The names of God are revealed by God alone. No man ascribed any name to God, but God chose the names that He chose to reveal to us. But secondly, I want you to understand, because He has revealed His names to us, He desires for us to know Him. Aren't you glad for that? God desires for you and me to know Him. Therefore, He has shared His personal names with you and me. There's just something about a name. It's hard to know anyone if we don't know their name. But God has chosen to reveal His names to us so that we might know Him. But thirdly, God reveals His righteous character to us through His names. So as we study these names together, and I certainly hope long after we're finished with this short series on the names of God, that you will continue your own personal study of the names of God, because your life will be enriched, and you will have a deeper love for the Lord Jesus. So tonight I want to introduce to you the name Elohim. Elohim. And the Bible begins with a simple but yet profound declaration of faith. In the beginning, there was only God. Did y'all catch that? There was only God. Nothing else existed. Everything that comes into existence comes as a result of the activity of God. So the name used in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. God identifies Himself as Elohim 35 times at the start of Scripture. In fact, it is the only name used for God from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2 verse 3. But the name Elohim is used over 2,500 times throughout the Bible. So one reason I believe such a focus is put on this particular name of God could be that He wants us to understand first and foremost His power. His power. Now the literal translation of the name Elohim means strong one. Strong one. Our God is strong. And so it has to do with both God's sovereignty and His authority, reflecting on the greatness of His power. So in its context, His glorious name reveals to us some important truths that you and I need to know. And the first one is this: God alone is eternal. God alone is eternal. The name Elohim declares that God alone is eternal. So this suggests that the nature around us is not eternal. So it did not exist until God spoke nature into existence. So God created all that exists from nothing. Nothing. In fact, the Latin term there is ex nihilo, which means from nothing. God didn't have any resources from which to create the universe. He didn't have any raw materials And so this critical and fundamental promise of Scripture stands in sharp contrast to the humanistic evolutionary model suggested by today's secularists. You know, in a humanistic system, the universe becomes godlike. In fact, in today's culture, there are many who have lost sight of God. And we no longer worship God, we worship the creation. We no longer worship the creator, but the created. And so that's where we are today. And so, in fact, to the secular humanist, the world is God. This is why there is so much alarm today about climate change. You know, it's a large reason why our economy is in shambles. The world has literally become a god. And abortion and green energy are just two of the major doctrines of today's secularists. And so the green energy zealots in our nation today are driving the economic bus over the cliff. So our nation is struggling today because of our passionate pursuit of saving the world. I've got news for you. It's not our job to save the world. That is God's job. I understand how the world will end one day, and it's not because man caused it. It's going to be the Lord who brings this world to a close. You and I are not powerful enough to end this world. God's going to bring it to a close. However, if we affirm that God alone is eternal and is the creator and sustainer of all that exists, we find that Scripture gives ultimate dignity and meaning to human life and existence. And because we're created in the image of God, we can be certain that life has meaning and purpose. Aren't you glad for that? We have meaning. And apart from a personal relationship with God, listen, you and I cannot ever appreciate God's purposes for us. We will never know it apart from a relationship with Jesus. So mankind has always sought to find the secret to life and the afterlife. Many wonder what the afterlife is like and what is required of us to get there. Well, friends, it's no secret. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. Eternal life can only be found in a relationship with God, the eternal one. So the name Elohim is rather complex. Elohim is actually the plural form of the simpler name El, E-L. And so the name El probably means first, as in Lord, and indicates that God is the strong and mighty one. So the singular name El is not often used alone in the Old Testament, but instead it's most commonly found in compound names such as El Shaddai or El Elyon. Now, the name Elohim has brought about a lot of debate as to the significance of the use of the plural form Elohim. Some Bible teachers argue that the use of the plural Elohim points to the triune nature of God. That is, that there is only one true God, but He manifests Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the other Bible scholars argue that the plural form of Elohim underscores the fullness of God's attributes and the brilliance of His majesty. And so when Israel confessed the name of Elohim, they were alluding to His supremacy as the true and living God. And they were acknowledging all of the divine attributes contained by God. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm from South Georgia. I'm from a little town called Cairo. So I'm not going to stand here tonight and pretend I know the reasons for the plural form used here. However, this I do know. Both of those statements are true. Amen? Both of those statements are true. And God is expressed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But He is also the supreme ruler of the universe. who contains within himself all of divinity. God is eternal. But secondly tonight, I want you to understand that Elohim is creator. Elohim is creator. You know, I think it's very interesting and very important to note that the very first thing that God wanted us to know about himself is that he is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the early church saw the doctrine of creation as central to faith. And like today, the early church faced a pagan world that believed the universe was eternal, and whatever gods existed, they were finite parts of the universe. But looking back over church history, you'll find that many of the hymns and the creeds of the early church expressed the bedrock certainty that God was the creator of all that exists. And so the doctrine of creation was viewed as the beginning point of all theology. So throughout history, there's been a relentless satanic assault on the doctrine of creation. Liberal theologians laugh at the thought of a literal creation account. So here's what happens when we question a literal creation. We begin to lose confidence in the other great doctrines of the Bible, do we not? So listen, if we can call the creation account into question, what's to stop us from questioning everything else? Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning, Elohim created everything. Everything. He spangled the heavens with stars and planets, and he called them all by name. And by his authority, he tells them exactly how and when to twinkle. He is Elohim. He is the sovereign creator of everything. But you know what? He also included you and me in his creation account. This means that we have unique purpose. This means that you and I are here by divine design and by divine purpose. So man did not evolve from goo to the zoo to you. Amen? Your ancestors are not apes. But God created you perfectly with a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, my heart breaks for our children and our teenagers that are being raised today in a culture that is detaching itself from the truth of the creation account. When kids start believing that they are ancestors of monkeys, it's not going to be long before they're acting like one. And so it's no wonder that so many of our kids today are committing suicide, leaving behind heartbreaking letters saying that they have found no purpose in life. Life isn't worth living. And so they claim their very own life when that is such a lie. Such a lie. So friends, listen, if we believe that we were evolved from some ape many years ago, it places no value on life. But listen, God says you were divinely designed. You have a creator who not only created you with purpose, but our creator even knows you by name. And he loves you. And he desires for you to spend forever with him. That's why he created you. He wants you to be forever with him. And I'm so glad today that we can share with our young people the good news that there is a God in heaven who sovereignly created them with a plan and a purpose for their lives. They're not junk, but they're special. They're of eternal value to God. You know, Elohim is the sovereign God of the universe. All the other attributes of God are based on this affirmation that He existed prior to, is independent of, and sovereign over His creation. And that is, the very world itself reflects His glory. I don't know what human mind can wrap itself around the truth of the greatness of God's creation. How could God bring everything out of nothing? But He did. How do you make life from non-life? But you know, the writers of Scripture were in absolute awe of Creator God. And listen, so should we. Listen, when we leave here tonight, it's still going to be daylight when you leave. But later in the evening, as the sun goes down and the stars begin to appear, listen, what you need to do this evening is just go outside and stare out into space and see that God created all of that. He knows the name of every star, and in great majesty and glory, He walks upon the stars, and they twinkle in applause to who He is. As you listen to nature around you, the birds singing, they are singing glory and praise to God. And this evening, I invite you, as you're standing outside and looking out into the heavens, just to stop and worship this wonderful God we call Elohim, the Creator of all things. He created things for His glory. And let me tell you something. He created you for His glory. And your life is to bring glory to Him. The story of Job. You know, it's one of the most gut-wrenching stories known to man. Job finds himself in a cataclysmic personal storm that he couldn't understand. You know, from the outward circumstances, it appeared that life had dealt him a cruel blow. All of his family and wealth and even his health had been taken from him. You remember the story. His friends accuse him of sin that caused the crisis, and his wife called him to curse God and die. And so the story slowly unfolds with each chapter, and the pain and grief grows to extreme intense levels. But toward the end of the book, we read the account of Job calling into question the nature and actions of God. And maybe sometimes we've done the same thing when crisis and trial and struggles and heartbreak come our way. But God patiently and lovingly responded to Job with a litany of questions of His own. And one of the most profound questions is found in Job 38, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. God spoke to Job and said, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the measuring line over it?" What a question. Elohim created the heavens and the earth with laser precision. He measured the foundations of the universe, and He laid it all out to His glory and honor. The questions about the creation and preservation relentlessly continue throughout chapter 41. And God graciously reminds Job that Elohim is the Creator, and Job is the created. The created cannot fathom the work of the Creator, but we can trust Him. We can trust Him. If God has faithfully provided for the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, God can and will provide for Job. And God declares to Job and to you and to me, "I know you. I know you. I will sustain you. And I will care for you. You can trust me." Oh, my friend, God wants you to know that His name is Elohim. Elohim, the strong one, the one who created all things from nothing. He never consulted with anyone. He never asked for help. He never had any resources from which to work. But God spoke, and all things came into existence. And this same God, Elohim, knows your name, and He loves you. Job's confession in chapter 42, verses 2 through 6, is a powerful display of transparency and repentance. Oh, listen to these words. I know that you can do all things and that no plan is impossible for you. Who is this who conceals advice without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I do not know. Please listen and I will speak. I will ask you and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I retract and I repent, sitting on dust and ashes. Oh, listen, Job went through this crisis, this time of significant pain in his life, wondering, where is this God that I've placed my trust in? Why is this happening to me? But God spoke into his life. God reminded him that He is the Creator, the Sovereign One, and that He can be trusted. And Job humbled himself before the Lord in repentance and acknowledged his dependence upon the Lord. You know, the understanding that God is Elohim, the Creator and Sustainer of all that exists, gives us confidence to face life's difficulties. As we place our trust in Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, we know that He who created us can sustain us. And He will. He will. And this wonderful truth, when fully comprehended, helps you overcome fear and anxiety in everyday life. Amen. Our God is faithful. The same God who created all things from nothing is the same God who invites you to call upon Him. And He desires for you to walk with Him, to commune with Him. And He invites you to listen as He speaks His truth into your life. And listen, we live in a world that is flawed and broken by sin, and it's important that we are careful who and what we listen to. In a day that's filled with error and deceit and lies, we need God's truth. God's Word is the truth, and it is important that we hide it away in our hearts so that we may not err against Him. But thirdly tonight, I want you to see the glorious assurances that Elohim is our Creator. You know, I've had lengthy discussions with people through the years, skeptics of the creation account found in Genesis. They have a lot of heartburn over the creation account. And they will say things like, you know, Richard, I would not have as much trouble believing the Bible if we could just delete the book of Genesis. You know, this creation story is just too far-fetched for me. But listen, this is a tragic misunderstanding. First of all, if they could remove the first couple of chapters of Genesis, they would still have difficulty believing the rest of the Bible, because references to the creation account are weaved throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And so deleting the book of Genesis is not going to help your cause. I love what Isaiah 40 verse 26 says. It says, raise your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who brings out their multitude by number. Listen, He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of His might and the strength of His power, not one of them is missing. So Isaiah is saying that God created and sustains the universe. So on the basis of this great truth, God asks why Israel would think that God does not know about their needs and does not give them justice. So look at God's response in Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 29. God says, "Why do you say, Jacob, and you assert, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives strength to the weary and to the one who lacks might. He increases power." Amen. That's the God we worship. The God who gives us strength when we're weary. His wisdom, his understanding is unsearchable. If you're looking for answers, look to Elohim. So this section ends with a familiar verse that you have likely memorized many years ago. Look at verse 31. It says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." So listen, the Creator does not grow tired and weary. Rather, He gives us strength for the living of everyday life. Look at another assuring passage in chapter 42, verses 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to idols." So Isaiah tells us that Elohim is the source of all life, and therefore we can know that life is sacred. That is why we should speak up for the unborn. Life is sacred. We're created in the image of God. So we can know that we are special to God. As judge over all creation, we can be sure that God will address the injustices of this world. Oh, friend, that day is coming. That day is coming. He's at work in our world today, working to bring all history to a close, to the perfect conclusion of His will. Things may appear chaotic. Things may appear hopeless. Oh, friend, I'm here to tell you, the Lord, Elohim, has the world in His hands. And He will bring history to a close. And there is coming a glorious day when all the created order will stop and praise Him for who He is. And all the injustice and those who caused it will find their place in the lake of fire. He is Elohim. He is the creator and maker of heaven and earth, and He is in complete control of everything. There is pain in this world today. There is much evil in this world today, and we may wonder why in the world God allows it. I heard a quote just yesterday from Joni Erickson Tada that I thought was absolutely profound, and I wanted to share it with you tonight. Listen to what she said. You may remember that she was, as a young lady, in an accident swimming, and she broke her neck, and she became a paraplegic the rest of her life. But she was recently noticed as saying this. Listen, God permits what He hates to accomplish what He loves. You may want to write that down. God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. He hates your suffering. He hates your pain. He hates your heartbreak. But listen, he loves what it does to you as it draws you closer to him. For Johnny Erickson Tata, God hated her accident and her breaking her neck. But he loved the fact that as a result of that, she drew near to the Lord. And today she has an amazing testimony of grace, of what God has done for her. God had turned a tragedy into a triumph. That's the God we worship. Our God is an awesome God. So friend, in whatever situation you're facing today in your life, I want to encourage you to remember the name Elohim, the strong one, who does not need raw materials with which to work. He doesn't need logic or tangible solutions in order to accomplish his goal. All he needs is himself. And all you need is faith in his name, that he can do all things that he purposes to do. Remember and call on his name. Listen, friends, Elohim can create something out of nothing. He's done it before, and guess what? He is still doing it today. Listen, every day of your life, God is doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may not be aware of but only three. Elohim knows where you are. He sees you. He knows you. He wants you. And every day he is working in your life to conform you to the image of his blessed Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm so glad that Elohim continues to recreate today. He loves to forgive. He loves to wipe away guilt and shame. I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm so glad Jesus is still making dead men alive. Jesus is still transforming lives today. I'm so thankful that Jesus is still making all things new. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, we worship an awesome God, and his name is Elohim. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your word. And oh Lord, how we thank you that in your goodness you have chosen to reveal yourself to us through your names. And Lord, I pray that each of us will continue in our personal study of your names, Lord, and that we will learn more of your character, more of your attributes, and appropriate those truths in our lives each and every day. May we run to you like a strong tower and find refuge in you, Lord, when our hearts are hurt. We thank you that you are the sufficient Savior and that you're still making all things new. So Lord, tonight I pray that we will leave here in awe of who you are, the creator of all things. And as your created people, we worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.